Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Good evening, friends, and thanks for tuning in to this Monday's edition of Raising Expectations. We are thrilled to have you with us. We praise God and thank Him for you as being part of our family, and we've got a great show tonight. It's going to be a blessing, and we'll hopefully and prayerfully, as we know, do the call of our show, raise your expectations, encourage and strengthen you. You know, we're a program that's based on faith. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. We believe Jesus Christ is His only begotten Son, who died on the cross to pay for our sins, and our sins are under the blood of Christ. And that's wonderful because we know who we are, where we're going, and where we come from, and what it's going to be like. But the greatest part is He's with us every day. The Lord walks with us and talks with us, and every day tells us that we're His own. So tonight we've got a program that will really encourage and strengthen you in an area that's very profound in the nation today. We could go into that, but I'm going to save that for our guests. We'll be talking with him in just a moment. Again, our team covers the width and breadth of the United States. We begin on the West Coast with Dr. Paul Hall in Lompoc, California. And you all know Paul, Rocket Town. Paul is a retired pastor. He's a theologian. He's a teacher. He's a great teacher. He's been my friend 50 years, and we have had so much fun together. He's one of those things where you say, thank you, Lord, for blessing my life. And he's one of those blessings. I know he's a blessing in your life, too. Not only is Paul there in Lompoc, but if we go all the way to the east side of the United States and the south, we are there in Georgia. And we're right there with Steph Thayer and her husband, Dr. Craig Thayer. Craig has been called to duty tonight, and we're excited about that. He won't be here tonight, but she could tell you about that. But Stephanie is the CEO and founder of Quenching Wells, and she's about the best health coach we believe in the entire world, because as the Bible tells us in the New Testament, God created us body, soul, and spirit, and she ministers to you body, soul, and spirit, and gets you in shape to follow the Lord and eat right and take care of the temple of God. And so she's exciting couple. Both of them are a great blessing all over the nation. And we're so thankful that they are here with us as part of our family. Love and appreciate them and our family. And they're in Dalton, Georgia. That's right. And that is actually the South. So I got Dalton right. So that's a good one. So if you jump from Dalton, and we'll miss Tank tonight, but he'll be back next week. If you jump from Dalton and get on the current going this way and end up in the, as Tank lovingly calls it, the seat for Texas, or the central United States, what's he called? South America, that's what he calls it. He's got a great term for it. South America, he's got a lot of good terms all the time. In South America, the great
America in the South.
Yeah, America is the South. There you go. Yeah. And that's usually Ron's response. We've got a great time together, folks. We got one of our favorite pastors in the state of Texas, and that is Ron Greer in the great metropolis of McKinney. And Ron is a pastor. He's been a counselor. He counsels now with Man in the Mirror, and he helps men all over the place, just finding answers from the Lord and from His precious word on what God's doing in their lives. And he is someone who is so founded in the word that guys come out and say, Ron, this Thanks for sharing that with me and getting me a good grasp of what God's doing in my life. So this is our team tonight, and we cover the states, and we're really excited to bring to you tonight. Hopefully you've been reading. I've gotten a lot of response. We have with us, I think, the Chattanooga, Tennessee, correct, Steph? Is that right? I forgot to ask. It's Chattanooga. Yeah. So they home of the famous choo-choo. So it's right there, Chattanooga choo-choo. That's it. Ron would sing that for you, but we're saving time tonight, Chris. So we're going to go from there. Chris is one of the most wonderful guys you're ever going to meet. He is electric. He is a man with the call of God on his life. And the call of God on his life is to teach, love, care for, and lead kids, lead children, lead young adults to Christ and to be encouraged and to realize they're not a product of their environment. They can become something incredible through the power of Christ in their life. And he's got so many unique ways that he does this. So we are thankful that Chris will be with us this week and next week. So write down your questions. You know, we're on 5 platforms. Many of you get on there. If you get on the platform, there's a spot for you to ask a question. We'll find those questions and make sure that we even address some next week for you. We come back with it. But we'd like to welcome tonight and let him share with us from his heart. There's a saying that he wrote on the other night that touched my heart. God's children are not for sale. And you know where that's coming from. It's going nationally all around the world. And God bless Jim Caviezel for his ministry and his testimony in this movie. And when he mentioned that, we were 4 days out together in his heart, my heart. He was thinking just what I did as the Spirit of God spoke to him and one of his friends. So, Chris, we want to welcome you and bring you on board. Welcome again to Raising Expectations with a round of applause. That's one of the most wonderful welcomes you'll get. There it is. We got all in there. And we want to bring you on and welcome to Raising Expectations.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Joe, Stephanie, and Paul, Ron, everybody.
It's TJ, fun. If you can bring up his picture or bring up his thing. There you go, TJ. I forgot to ask. There he is. We'll bring also bring up your
clean shaven version of myself.
Yeah, there you go. And there you go. There, Chris, you can that a little for us.
Yeah. So, hey guys, thanks for having me back again. It was awesome being on the show, being a guest a few months ago. I think it was early May. That we were on, and what they were just showing on the screen, Joe, what you just had, that was something that we've been putting together based on a lot of the philosophy the Lord's given me about how to engage kids. And I'm a big believer that kids respond well to a challenge, a good old fashioned challenge. You know, it's worked really well for me when God got a hold of my heart back when I was on the precipice of going from being a selfish teacher to being maybe a godly, I would say a pretty good teacher. He started telling me to get my eyes off me and get my eyes on others and to look for the good in a kid. And so when I did that, if you listen to our last show, we learned how I started doing this award show, in my classroom. We called them the Morrissey Awards, right? And I didn't think it was a great idea, right, when I first started, but then the kids showed me otherwise. And I quickly began to take it a little more seriously. So as I would sit down and think about who's going to win a Morrissey Award, which, by the way, had nothing to do with math or academics, really, it was about character. Yeah. I wanted to call the kids up a little higher was the thought I had. And I think it was from the Holy Spirit. At the time, I thought it was just an idea that Chris Morris had, but I really think it was from the Holy Spirit when I go back and think it through. And it would usually, start with a simple challenge, right? I used to say, hey, man, you know how you like to take your 5 naps every single day and it gets on my nerves and you don't ever do any of your work and you're just sitting there wasting everyone's time. Hey, if you maybe just take 1 nap next week, right? Can I just give you a challenge? Take 1 nap instead of 5. Okay. If you do, you might win the Stay Awake Morrissey Award, right? I'll even bring in a cup of Joe when I, not you, Joe, but a cup of coffee when, to inspire your efforts, right? And so I found that when I would start with a challenge and just give it a time limit, 1 day or 2 classes, don't take a nap, Once I kind of kickstarted, they're like, okay, I can do that, When a kid feels like you're only asking what he has to give, I find that they respond with joy. And when you honor that effort, like God does with us, when we give our little mustard seed of faith, he doesn't sit there and say, Chris, you idiot, I expect you have the faith to, raise an entire dead army. He doesn't talk to me like that. he honors my little mustard seed of faith, right? And so when a kid's challenged to come up a little harder and they give you what it is that they have to give, and your job as a good teacher is to know what they have to give and only ask that. That's the thing. You got to be in tune with the person you're trying to teach. Well, God comes in, and I believe grace comes from heaven and enables that kid to do way more than you ever would have thought possible, because God's spirit comes on it, and that's what always would happen. So I would have a kid who never could stay awake for an entire class take me up on my challenge. He made a whole class without taking a nap. We give him a Morrissey Award. We make him feel good. We honor him for doing at least something that he could do. Next thing you know, he doesn't take a nap for the next 3 months.
Amen.
That's, you know, like, how does that happen? How's a kid who can't seem to get over the trauma of life enough to stay awake? You know, usually it's some trauma they're going through, right? All of a sudden, you handle them in a different way. You give them a little challenge that they feel like they can do. You honor what they have to give. How do they all of a sudden go to doing exactly what you want to do, surpassing your expectations, you know, raising expectations, talking about that, right? For three straight months. How does that happen? Amen. Well, I think it's biblical. Yes. You know, Jesus only asked the disciples for their 5 loaves and 2 fish. In fact, he just asked, what do you have? He didn't even ask a certain number amount. He just said, what is it you have?
That's it.
And they said, well, I don't even have anything. I had to steal this Lunchable from this little boy over here. I mean, that's how pathetic it was for the disciples, right? So they took the Lunchable from the little boy. That's how broke they were, right? His 5 loaves and 2 fish, what you gonna do with that, you know? But God didn't sit there and go, oh, you idiot disciples, I have to do everything for you. Are you kidding me? How, you know, he honored, he gave thanks. And what happens? The Father comes in and grace comes in and they feed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. See, the miracles are coming when you honor people and you raise expectations by looking closely enough at a person, seeing who they are, seeing what they've done in the past, and challenging them to just give me the little bit that you do have, and treating them with honor when they do that, if that makes sense. So that was really what was starting to happen with me with the Morrisseys. You know, it could be totally different. Like, can you just not cuss me out for at least 30 minutes? That would be awesome. Just don't say a cuss word for 30 minutes. And they would be like, you know, F yeah, I can do that. That would be the response. You know, I didn't say the word.
Okay. Yeah.
But, you know, that would be their response, right? Which is hilarious, but because they're cussing as they're telling you they're not going to cuss, right? Then, you know, the next week they manage to pull off an entire class without cussing. Now, they don't say anything because they know themselves and they know they better not say a word if they expect to not say, a 4-letter word, but they still do it. And then the ability, the grace always would come and God would do what God does. And I went back after seeing this happen in my own life, not knowing what I was doing, just stepping out in faith. And I realized that was consistent in the Gospels. God told Moses, what is it in your hand?
That's right.
An 80-year-old man said, well, I got a stick. What you want me to do with that? God's like, deliver the entire nation of Israel from the grip of Pharaoh. And by the way, it's going to happen. Give me your pathetic stick and watch me work. You know, that's a Chris Morris paraphrase, but go back and read the book. That's basically what happened, right?
I like your paraphrase.
That's right. It's the Chris Morris paraphrase, right? So if you want to put that back on the screen, if you don't mind, I know it showed for a second, but I have a connection to what I'm saying. So this is kind of my heart behind, you know, now if anyone doesn't know, I teach math online courses for homeschool families, for private school families, just for anybody who has a need. The system isn't treating your kid right, or maybe the teacher doesn't connect right. And we want to come in and rescue kids. You know, I love how Joe brought up the movie, Sound of Freedom. And even though what I'm doing isn't as dramatic or as heroic, you would say, as, you know, jumping into an island and doing some sort of SWAT team and rescuing people, you know, I don't think I'm cut like that. But what I do realize is anybody who's in a system where they're taking advantage of children and they're trying to benefit themselves at the kid's expense, that's not cool. Amen. And I'm here to say that's not all right. I don't care if it's as dramatic as a Sound of Freeman, Sound of Freedom, you know, and they're taking advantage of kids to that degree. That's obvious for everybody. But even if it's subtle and you're keeping kids down, not teaching them the best that you could because you need your numbers and you're playing a secret politic game, and you're really suppressing their education, keeping them stuck, that's going to have generational impacts so that you can take advantage of a system that you're in on, then something's wrong. And I'm calling you out, and I'm saying that now. Okay. So the reason that I wanted to put this up here is because the challenge is effective. And so we have something we started. It's all automated. It's called the Algebra Made Simple 8-Week Challenge. And I challenge you parents to challenge your children and maybe take me up on this. Okay. If you go to morrismodel.com, you know, the way it works is you get an automated email system comes out when you sign up. And so each week the kids get weekly videos, weekly tasks that they do. They get 7 days to get it done. And then we do a Q&A live video stream on YouTube to give kids a little extra personal touch. But we're going to cover the 8 most important topics that you really need to foundationally take away, you know, from an Algebra 1 curriculum, right? This can be a good foundation for kids who maybe felt like the pandemic put them behind and they don't feel prepared entering into algebra. I can't tell you how many kids, you know, because of politics and because of the world and sin and everything, because of what COVID did, it damaged kids and their confidence is shot. They come in with no, you know, low self-esteem. Some are even battling suicidal stuff. It's crazy. The conversations I have with parents and how thankful they are that someone can kind of come in, find out their gaps and boost some confidence and wind in their sails and get them back where they feel like they can, you know, stay on grade level. And so this is just something I wanted to bring out there, a challenge for a kid. It's doable. The videos are very easy to watch. I felt like we did a good job making them really clear for kids to get, and we give them just enough work to practice it and feel, you know, like they're gaining some proficiency there. And so that's all I wanted to say. Kids respond when challenged because I lived it.
Amen. Anybody so anyway, Steph had a question. What do you think?
I was just saying so true. Like, we all need a little bit of a challenge. It's especially, you know, you're doing algebra, you're doing some of the higher level math. I mean, and you talk about when you were a high school teacher and, you know, a lot of kids are pushing. And it's really because they do want boundaries. They want someone to tell them no. They do want to be loved. Not that we like being told no, but we want to know you care. And so we're constantly testing.
Right.
And if it happens to be that it's in the hallways of the classroom or of the school, right, or in the classroom, we'll take it wherever we can get it. And so it's true. I think we all, human nature is we like a challenge, right?
Yeah.
Something that's easy.
Yeah.
Run after.
Yeah. That's good. Anybody else had a comment or a question about that?
Ron always does. He's coming.
Bring it, Ron.
I was going to say, that was really good. I don't have anything to say. No, but it's true though. And again, my area expertise is boys and men. And that's one of the unique things about men and boys. If you're not challenging them, they're not interested. They're generally speaking, the most part, if there's no challenge in order, and it doesn't have to be an actual, even have to be a tangible award. If there's some assurance that they have achieved something, if that's recognized, you know, they'll do almost anything for you. And the people who don't believe that, I say, well, let me let you talk to any NFL coach or any NBA coach, you know, or high school football coach. You know, how is it he gets boys to come out in the middle of August with 99 degrees and kill themselves? And again, don't get paid for it. But it's the sense of accomplishment and the challenge. They're given a challenge, and the challenge is to accomplish these things. And you know you've done something that a bunch of other guys behind you couldn't do.
Yeah.
So I think you're spot on. You're spot on. Give kids a challenge. The challenge says you're worthy, you're valuable, you know that you're important. All right.
And boy, I want to concur with that too, Chris, because you know I was thinking about what you said. As an old principal side of me, God's given you a gift. You know, Stephanie likes your version of scripture. That's part of that. That's what we're talking about. A gift for a kid, for a child, for a student. I used to call them my kids. I don't know if I'm politically out the window, Ron. I don't know. But I used to call my kids. For a kid to climb the mountain called challenge, you've got to give him something, even if it's like the stick you use with Moses, where he can crawl over the foothill of fear. If he gets over the foothill of fear, he can then know I'm not alone. My teacher must have cared. I can do that. And the hill's not that big because he's there with me. You have a gift of that. That's a call of God, I think, on your life to make students. And we've watched all of us the progression of that. And I want to really commend you on that. And man, I'm behind it all the way, just like Ron and Steph said. We're with you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Joe. I do. But I mean, I just want to say, like, it's not, I mean, I agree that, you know, I'm sure, you know, God gives us all gifts and abilities and certain things he wants us to use to honor him, right? That almost sounds too churchy, but I mean, it is true, even though it sounds a little cliche. But I have to say, I think anybody can grow in this area. It really takes intentionally paying attention to someone who isn't you, looking longer and more carefully at a person than you want to, because it takes time, you know, out of your schedule and the things that you need to accomplish. It, you know, gets you at, once you get out of your comfort zone, and when you can really see a glimpse of who they could be, or really see what that issue is, and you can give them just something that seems doable, you know, you know, too many times in education, they come up and maybe the kid's been failing every math course for the last 4 years. And then they come up there and expect you to just do all these standards and you're going to get a 93 average. Okay. If you say that they're going to do that, no one believes you. You don't even believe what you're saying. Everyone's looking at the liar in front of the room. You know, it's just what it is. But if you can just break it down to something that you know they can do if they really try, the most important thing is they need to know that they have to have that feeling of, you know what, it's going to be hard, but I think I can do it. And if they get that buy-in and you put that challenge in there, like Ram is saying, they're going to respond. And the boys are going to respond, right? You know what I'm saying? they're going to respond. I mean, I tell you what, boy. I mean, I'm playing with a bunch of old men at the Y. I mean, we got a 70-year-old guys who can't, you know, they can barely bend over and pick up the ball, but they're going to keep going at it and torture ourselves because some guy said, I bet you can't beat me. And they're like, okay, let's go. Let's run it back. And they should have been quitting. They're going to be sore for the next 4 or 5 days and probably have to go to another doctor's appointment. But because some guy went and challenged them, it's something about us. I always tell people, you know, I hate cardio. I hate running because I do, but give me a ball and a guy that says something that, did it, and so here we go, and next thing you know I don't even feel the pain, you know, and my feet are bleeding and I don't feel it anymore, and I don't like to be in pain, but you know what, the man done did it, you know. And so there is something to that.
It's a guy
thing. It really is.
I'll just watch you guys.
Stephanie, it happens with girls too. I mean, but you know, specifically guys, they're, you know. But my point is, there really is, and I just want to keep going back to this tone. Mm-hmm. I think, Joe, you hit on it when you actually called me earlier today. We were kind of talking through today's show. And, you know, I think it's not coincidence that the timing and the movement, if people haven't seen Sound of Freedom, you know, can I do that? They need to go see the movie. Mm-hmm. It is, you need to be aware, you know. Too much darkness has thrived because people are just unwilling and it's too uncomfortable for you to look. Well, while it's uncomfortable for you because you're thinking about you, you're not thinking about those people who are living in hell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Darkness thrives when light isn't shown on it, and we have to be willing to look. It's just like your personal life. If you're not willing to look at your own sin, how are you going to confess your sin?
Right.
And then for be cleansed of all sin and unrighteousness. The Bible says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Well, we can't be cleansed as a nation if we don't look at the reality of the sin that really is there, so we can actually ask God, forgive us, have mercy on us. Right. And so I really, you know, I was talking to Joe about this earlier. And I was having a good friend of a buddy, Josh, went to high school with him, played ball, thinking of sports, you know, we would do all kinds of stuff because, you know, let's go, you know, and we actually got closer and closer as a friendship, really. It's really David and Jesse type relationship. The two of us have, to the point where now we're calling each other almost every day, every other day, just to pray together. We're not playing around. We know we need God to help us. Apart from him, I can't do nothing. I can't run this business. I can't help a kid. I can't do anything apart from him. If I abide in him, his words abide in me, and I'll ask what I want and I'll bear fruit. That's what the word says. I'm an everything, nothing. Right. If God helps me do it, I can do all things. And if he doesn't help me do it, I can't do nothing. I can't, which is improper English. I cannot do anything. And so I was talking to Josh and we were talking about some of these, you know, these things about, you know, trafficking and some of these dark things that are in America that a lot of people are suppressing. You see the reactions in the theaters, you see how media is painting like something everybody should be able to unify on as conspiracy. Like, what are you talking about? You're showing your hand. Everyone knows who you are if their brain works at all. And he reminded me of something when we were talking about my role when I was at the public school. And even now, he said, Chris, you are a white hat. You know, if you've ever heard that term, he said, you've been a white hat the whole time. I was like, what are you talking about? You know, because that was like a paradigm, like, what are you saying? You know? And he goes, well, God had you in this toxic situation where the system was really using kids for its own end and really just destroying lives. If you look at it objectively in a lot of ways, the way things were done. And he was like, he called you to go in that system and rescue kids. You're to have that connection with the kid. You're to speak God's truth when it was right. You're supposed to handle them in a way where you have an influence. So when you do have something good to say, they'll actually listen. You know, sure. You got to earn the right to say the truth to people. And we got too many Christians or talking heads out there who just say the truth all day long, but they're clanging cymbals. No one's listening because they know you don't give a rip about them.
Yeah.
Right. You know, they got to feel loved, and you got to earn the right in their eyes to say the hard truth that they desperately need to hear for their own sake. And so this is all comprehensive. What Jim Caviezel and, you know, is exposing on the movie front and what this conversation is nationally. I'm telling you, just because a person isn't going through trafficking doesn't mean they're not drowning in so many ways. And I can't tell you phone call after phone call after phone call after phone call of a mother just crying on the phone because their kid is just feeling like they're suffocating and they lost all motivation. Maybe they're a great math kid and whatever bad experience going on at school. You know, if you don't have hope, the Bible says without hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Right.
Okay. And without vision, the people perish. And so what's happening is like this Python spirit, whatever it's called, is like suffocating the life out of these kids because they see the news. They it looks hopeless, you know, cost, jobs, the economy looks hopeless. I mean, I talk to them all the time. And they're just like, what, you know, they need to be engaged. And it takes a one-on-one, what I like to call a personal transaction of care. It's my term. I came up with it. Okay. So you got to fly. I call it a personal transaction of care. And what I'm saying is, what is something you can do? If you're a parent talking to your own kid, then find a personal transaction of care. If you're a teacher talking to a student, a pastor talking to a congregation member, whatever your role is or sphere of influence, what is something you can do that tells the person through your action that you care for them, where they're going to believe it? And that can look like a lot of things. I remember my dad told me one time when he read our book, he was thinking about how to have a personal transaction of care. We mentioned it in my book. And he had a person, he's a doctor, right? And he had a person who worked for him. I'm not getting to the details of it. But I remember he just decided to purchase groceries for someone who out on a whim, and he didn't know what to do, but he just decided to do that. Didn't think anything of it, but it meant the world to this person.
Yes.
To where their behavior changed, they had a joy, they're smiling all the time. I mean, their whole demeanor is like life came into this person,
right?
Because he did this one thing that you would have thought was not even that big a deal, but it was that personal transaction of care that meant the world for that person. They kind of met him at that point of pain, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I have another situation, I think of my father, without getting into the details, but I remember he talked to someone about, you know, if I can talk about this subject, about abortion on the air. He is a colleague or something, a friend of his or something, and, you know, was considering getting an abortion. And my dad, you know, just told him the truth, thank God, in love, and said, don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And from that point on, he listened to him, loved that baby. I mean, the baby that he almost got aborted just changed this man's world to the point where, like, my dad was like, my dad was the cream of the crop, you know, in his eyes forever. There was that personal transaction of care. And I'm telling you, it just looks different for different people, but you're not ever going to hit that sweet spot with people if you're not focused on them enough. If you're so busy with you and you don't slow down and intentionally, like, think about someone else today. And for me, like, just making a Morrissey Award was that activity for me. It was 30 minutes I designated on a Sunday afternoon, and I looked at my role and I thought about this kid for 5 minutes. Looked at the role, Johnny Smith. Okay. Mm-hmm. What is he really like? Yeah. What makes him tick? I just had to spend some intentional thought. Okay. Susie, you know, Collins. All right. All right. I you know what? I always notice she's always listening to Justin Bieber music and she's obsessed with him, and I could care less, and it makes me want to like jump out the window, but she likes him. Maybe I'll let her listen to Justin Bieber if she gets the question right on Friday, and we'll all have to torture ourselves and listen to it and sing along, and it'll be funny. You know, like whatever works for that person. I started getting in that mindset, and what it does is it just brings the kingdom of God. Like people can feel, you can feel the lightheartedness. You can feel the lack of strife. I don't know what you, if you know what I mean when I say, when you walk in a river, strife, and you can like feel it.
Right. Cut it with a knife. Yeah, right.
You can cut it with a knife. And when that's gone, you can feel it.
Right.
And it's just like, I mean, just, everyone's comfortable. Everyone can just, you know, goodwill towards each other. And what it does is it opens up the climate for when someone asks you the question for the hope in you, or why are you this way? Or God, I'm telling you, they will bring up the question about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, I watched it happen over and over, and then you just answer their question and let God do it. It's not you doing it at the end of the day, if you understand that.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, you know, y'all jump in and say some stuff. Okay.
No, it's I was going to say that I co-teach a Bible class at our church. Well, it's a Bible fellowship, but anyway. So last week, me and the other co-teacher decided to focus on something, and so mine was we used it was a little pamphlet back in the 90s, I believe, maybe 80s. It was called the Tyranny of the Urgent.
Mm-hmm.
And at InterVarsity, we used it back. It was a part of a program, but thought we'd use that again, because the whole point of that, of Dr. Hummel, is that people focus on what's urgent to them in the moment and forget what's important to them. Another way a guy put it was, said that the problem is most people focus on putting the sand and the water in the container, then they can't get the big rocks in after that. We said it should be just after you focus on the rocks, the important things first, and do the other things. And part of his point is that we focus on those things that are most urgent to us at the moment, as opposed to looking at the people in front of us, right? You know, everything about God says that I see you, you know, I'm with you. I'm walking with you. I know your name, you know, your name is written on the palm of my hand. Everything about him says he knows me intimately. He sees me, and we're told to imitate him. The problem is we encounter people, encounter circumstances constantly, and we assume that, well, it's just a coincidence. Or, you know, I really don't have time, because here I'm standing in the grocery store, I finished my shopping, and here's some guy I said one nice thing to, and this clown is still talking 10 minutes later, and I'm going, I got to get out of here, right? Instead of saying, wait a minute, why did God orchestrate this moment with this person, and why do they feel so comfortable sharing with me? What is it that God wants me to do and to share with this person in front of me? What does he want me to do? Now, I think we all sort of understand in the back of our mind where that might lead, and we're uncomfortable with that, right? Mm-hmm. Like my wife and I, it led to 37 people living in our house with us.
Oh, and 29. I heard your wife was like, what is going on?
I did not see that coming, Ron. Okay, you got my attention.
But again, it's for instance, there's a guy who lived with us. He only lived with us about a month or so, you know. And why was he in a house? He was sitting in the church lobby one cold day after church, after everybody's gone, and he's sitting on a couch. We're taking pictures, and we need somebody to take a picture on the steps of the Christmas tree. He's the only guy there. So we go over and ask him, the man taking a picture. And I look at him going, this guy's got dress shoes on, sweatpants, and a summer shirt. And it's 40-something degrees outside. We take the picture. So our deal is, hey, so how are you doing? Who are you? And he started telling us his problem, how he got stranded there and got off the bus and blah, blah, blah. Now, everybody else would have said, hey, well, you know, God bless you, and walk away. Our deal was, okay, Lord, what's the point? well, we got to take him home. We take him home. We got to find a place to get him some food and blah, blah, blah. Go on and on and on. Because we forget about the urgent at the moment. What's the important thing? What does God want me to do? So in the form of teachers, one of the issues I have with public school teachers, they've been conditioned so much so that my time, my schedule, my plan in the classroom to work out this way is the most important thing.
Yeah.
As opposed to saying, wait a minute. What's important to this kid? You know, what's going on with this kid? You know, what is causing him or her not to, you know, be interested, not to be involved? Every kid likes to learn. Every single one. If they're prompted to do so. We worked with at-risk kids at Young Life for a number of years, and they were at risk because they had idiotic adults who never took time and never paid attention to them. But Mr. Ron and Ms. Roz, they hung at our house, ate our food, and drove everybody crazy. Why were they so interested? Because Ms. Ron and Mr. Ron and Ms. Roz, we actually paid attention to them. Okay, what is it this kid needs? What is it they want? You know, what motivates them? What makes them tick? And I try to get, and that's our constant thing to parents when we're mentoring parents. Study your child. What is it that makes them tick? Peter says, men. If you tell me your wife is driving you crazy, my question to you is, why aren't you obeying the Lord? The Lord says you're to study your wife. Okay? Study her. He says to your children, study your children. Right? Paul says in Ephesians to one another, if love one another, you know, pray for one another. That requires you to kind of study them and find out what is the need here? What does God want me, and why does God orchestrate this? If I don't do that, I throw people to the door. Anyway, sorry.
No, that's good. And whatever happens, that's right, Ron, right? And whatever happens, Ron, like you learned through those years you've shared, don't worry about it. It's one day at a time. If you don't have an answer, if you don't see a change, if you can't tell what, you know that they know that you're there, like you just said. Yeah. And you know, I don't think you're going to find that in the teachers' unions in the public schools. I don't think you're going to find it high on the list of any of their discussions, because it seems to be pretty well introverted, financial, what they're going to get, what they're going to gain. And the poor student is sitting there needing what Chris is doing so badly. Yeah. Somebody love me. Somebody hear me. And they don't have a chance. You're all spot on. Makes it's sense.
Valuable enough to pay attention to me. Oh.
Yeah. Somebody.
Ron, Ron, can you hear me there?
Yeah.
You just clarified something for me, why I made so many enemies when I was at the public school. Amen. I was like, really? That's the mindset? I was sitting there thinking like, I have this plan and we are going to accomplish this. And I remember thinking, I learned a long time ago that my plan never worked out. So there's no point even trying to go down that road.
We have a lot of educators in my family, and I have a very low view of educators. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, and when you ruffle the feathers of the way that everybody is going, right? Even if it's an amazing thing, I see it in health all the time. Someone starts to get healthier and everybody gets mad in their life because it's a reflection of them, not because that person means. So the same, you're teaching and they're, what are you doing? We don't want Morrissey's. Like, I don't have a Morrissey. Right?
No, I got to work harder.
That is a definitely true dynamics that I saw that, because you know, I used to be the horrible, you should have a low opinion of me teacher for 3 years. I was that guy until God just come down, get down, Chris, now listen to me, mail it boy, you know. And then he slapped me around a little bit and I said, okay, I'm gonna go with what you say because you're scary, let's do your plan, you know. And then I just changed, you know. I don't know how he did it, but then I became, and I'm still the same way he made me. I'm, you know. And I noticed that then you got the few people that would come and support you. You found out who your friends were. They would, whatever, you got a wacky idea. If it'll help the kid, they come along and help. And you had so many stinkers. I mean, people that go out of their way talking bad about you. One time I remember trying to do something at the pep rally to help the kids just get motivated, and they wanted to, and then I got accused of making it the Chris Morris show and it's all about you. And they were talking to my boss about, I was like, what are you doing? Like, are we in middle school? Like, it was the weirdest. And Stephanie, I saw the same thing, you know, not to call out anybody, but I mean, when I went on a diet a few years ago and I lost a decent amount of weight, And I, let's just say I noticed the comments from people around. You know, they, I was like, really? Like,
you know,
I lost 30 pounds. Like,
give me a break.
Why are you hating on me? Or why are you making these little comments? Or it's like they trying to sneak me an extra piece of cake or something, you know? It was interesting. I was like, huh.
I noticed it with Faith too. Like, the more outspoken you become, you know, I get a lot of, oh, you're kind of weird, Steph. Are you? Yes. In every conversation, or God will naturally come up, right? Yeah. I'm sorry that makes you uncomfortable. You don't believe in it. Should be a non-issue for you, right?
What I hear you all saying, too, it reminds me, if you start to get pressured in like this, I mean, you got to get old, huh, Paul? You got to get old. When you start to look at this. Man, when I start to think about all these people, Chris, they're everywhere. Ron's been through. Stephanie has them now saying stuff. Tank could tell you stories. I mean, just think of Jeremiah. Boy, Jeremiah would be our palace. I mean, Israel's going to hell in a handbasket. The whole world, everything is messed up. God has even said, okay, I've had it with you guys. Tell them it's all over in X amount of time. You guys are really screwed up. It's the end of the road. In the meantime, Jeremiah, here's what I want you to do. I still want you to be happy. Somehow he figures it out. It's not about me. It's all about him. And for me to say that depends upon him. And at the end, he says, quietly, lovingly, for I know the plans God has for you. Man, for him to get to that point, Jeremiah has got to be one of my heroes. He would shake his fist at God, like it said, you know, until God said, okay, I got this. They're all around you, Jeremiah, but I'm within you and in front of you, and I got you covered. And you're standing against a lot of things. And
yes,
you, as I pray for you, and we've all talked about this, and Steph and Ron, we're all shit. It's, you have a special call of God on your life to touch lives of students. And the thing is, they're going to come around the back door as they get older, and they're going to start achieving things in life. Some may seem great, some may seem not so great to some. It all depends on the point of reference, but they're all going to come back and say, you brought me to God, and it was your caring heart, like Ron was saying, you know, because of that. The greatest gift that educators I have ever believed in my life have, especially Christian education, you get paid nothing. My biggest call to fame at Canyonville is I got our teachers up to 70% of the public school payment, and I scraped to get them paid. I only had 64 on the staff. But here's the deal. The biggest thing is your wealth is those kids coming back around to you. Ron's got them. Steph's already got them. I know Tank has them. Come back around to you later and say, you know, if it wasn't for you, you didn't sit back and think about me, why I was so miserable. I was so miserable, I didn't even know, but you found the key. Yeah. Man, I'm so thankful you were my teacher. That's worth a billion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why at 67 years old, I still have fresh in my mind Mr. Stewicki. He's a seventh grade science teacher at Parkman Junior High School to this very day. Won the Teacher of the Year Award, I found out about 20 years later, 25 years later. But why do I still remember him? He was the one and first teacher that actually looked at me and listened to me. And all of a sudden, you know, something inside of me sparked because this guy actually heard me. But not only that, my attitude was, I thought school was the dumbest thing in the world. I actually told him that because he made me comfortable enough where we could talk. Every day at lunchtime, I would go to his classroom because I didn't want to get in trouble and fight. Because my mother said if I got in trouble at this new school, she was going to kill me. So I would hide out in the hallway. He saw me one day and invited me in his classroom. He didn't yell at me. He's invited me to come in and ask me questions. And I told him. And one day I said, I think school's the dumbest thing in the world. I don't understand why I got to come and listen to white people talk all day. And he says, you know, I think you're right. It's a good idea. I said, I want to leave school. He goes, I think that's a good idea. But here, okay, I think you want to do that. We should do that. But, you know, hey, we got to have a plan, right? We got to have a plan. So Mrs. Stewicki was instrumental in me for the next number of years, like an idiot, taking overload summer school, night summer school, because I had a plan and I'm going to show everybody.
It worked out well, I see.
I was eligible to graduate a year and a half early. Couldn't graduate a year and a half early because I was only 16. They said no. So my last semester in high school, taking stupid stuff like art and vital visual aid, and I graduated a year early because of Mr. Stewicki, because he was the one guy out of all the teachers, all the parents that said, hey, listen, you can do this. You know, I was a kid. I thought I was dumb.
Yeah. So anyway, Mr. Morris going to be in so many
Mr. Morris. That was the first Mr. Morrissey. So you know, yeah.
The Wiki Awards. That's the Wiki. You got the Wiki Awards.
1 second, Chris. I'm going to have to change a little bit right here. We're so glad you're coming back next week.
Wow!
Have another great talk, Stephanie. We love to put the word out a little bit and cover some things that are coming. And if you want to say a word now, are you up for that?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to jump to the cool new thing. So we talked before the show starts. You guys, we have a QR code. Yes, we do. If you want to donate, you just stick your little phone right up there. You take a picture. It'll put you right to the link.
Yeah.
Money makes the world go round. We could use some for the show. We appreciate your donations. There are many of you that are faithful and we really, really appreciate that. We also love hearing from you. Joe gets lots of messages and emails, so keep those coming. You can also learn all about us at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. You can learn about each host, past shows. There's Pastor Joe's book. There's Craig's book. So a plethora of information on there for you. And the QR code.
And they're even on the books. How about that? We got to, but you know, we'll get Chris's on there too. And as we expand, you want questions you appreciate about Chris being with us again, we'll just, we'll make sure we get them. Write it on the platform. And it's right there. You can go to that website and the QR code, which I just got to confess, learned what that meant tonight. Thank you, Stephanie. But there it is. It's right there. Yeah, I'm like my interns used to say when I was a pastor, he used to say, well, Pastor Joe, on a scale of 1 to 10, you're hitting 7. And after I chased him out of my office, I felt pretty good about a 7. But anyway, QR codes, that's cool. And we'll keep you appraised. And when Chris comes on again next week, we want to let him maybe have some of the things that I get from all of you. I'll give them to him at the end of the week. I'll find a time. He's got a really heavy schedule. But God is using this man. And God is going to shape lives like Ron and Steph and Paul, we'd all say. Paul, you got a thought you want to say? We've got, I just noticed, just a couple of minutes and we'll have to run out. And
I'd just like to tell Chris and reiterate what I shared last time. You need to get a little more energy in what you're saying, buddy. You know, you need to get some flash going. You know, it's exciting. I think your excitement, you know, kids also respond to contagion. It's contagious, and they begin to desire to want to be what they observe. You know, yes. Especially if somebody gives a care for them. Next week, maybe we can talk about because I just think it's important to pursue. I kind of get the feeling sometimes in some situations, kids are jumping out of public school like rats jumping out of a sinking boat. And I'd like to get your opinion about the shape of American education. You know, Ron, a while ago, I thought it was interesting. You said our educators, and I'm not so sure they're educating in directions that we'd love to see it happen. So, Chris, I'd like to get your opinion, you know, and I'd like to talk about that. Also, the thought I'd like to pursue a little bit, how do you find these gaps for these kids? You know, what are some things that you did to find the gaps? Because you talked about that 2 or 3 times tonight, because it takes I don't know how some teachers find a way to find the gaps in 30 kids, you know, and where does it begin? You know, do you pick the one with the biggest gap and work on that, and then it catches on like the Morrissey Awards? Or, you know, maybe you found from your experience, maybe it's some kind of strategy, or maybe it's Occam's razor. You know, you just do the simple thing and where you are at the time, given the thing. But I think it'd be worth pursuit because the some of the public educators that I have met and I'm aware of now, I asked one, I said, how many kids passed your class this year? I mean, I know I couch it this way. How many kids flunked your class this year? And she said, all of them before.
Yeah.
All of them before.
Yeah. And so
it's even worse than what I was doing.
There you go.
Questions. That'd be great. I'm sorry, Paul. They're gonna.
That's fine.
Watch your time there, brother. Don't forget 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hugs for Tank. Steph, you can handle that, and we'll go from there. Chris, maybe if you want to introduce your wife or your family at all, and we open next week, you're always welcome if you're doing it from home. That's how we met Roz, and we got to meet everybody that way.
Yeah, so I'll try. My wife's the introvert, so I'm the one that's always up in energy in front of the camera, and she's like, I'm going to hide in the corner. But my daughters are more than likely willing to pop on screen, so we'll see.
We'll claim you're part of our family, brother. We pray for you all the time. We want to thank Stephanie for finding you. Stephanie is our scout to find the really special people of God. Thanks, Steph.
Thanks.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to vacate the airwaves for a second now. So God bless you and keep you, and write your thoughts. Go on the platform right now. Write down those thoughts. Send them in to me, and we'll go from there. And I'll get with Chris later, and we'll talk a little bit. So. All right. Love you guys. Thanks, Ron. Thanks, Steph, Paul, everybody. And Chris, you're about the best. Just keep right on going. God's got a special plan. And we're looking forward to seeing you next week.
All Jesus.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Chris.
God bless you all.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous. But most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.